What?
Recording now.
Recording what?
Whatever you say.
Ah, yeah, the program, yeah. Well, look, why don't you do the introduction this week? You know, the before the... I'm getting a bit bored because I notice the one show, practically every program does this introduction before the title music comes in, which I have to say was my idea, and we did back on the James Whale radio show on television many years ago. Yeah. So I'm a bit fed up. I'm not getting money for it, so you do it.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a little show called the James Whale...
Stop.
What?
Diction. Diction is everything. If you're going to say ladies and gentlemen, don't go ladies and gentlemen.
I wasn't that drunk.
You were, honestly.
Okay.
I'll just have another drink while you do that.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to...
Don't you like doing that, blowing in the bottle of your beer just before you drink the last dregs from the bottom?
Yes, I do. I've only got a Coke bottle.
Yeah, very good. Disgusting stuff, that. But there we are.
Well, I've got a water bottle.
They don't want to sponsor the program. Who cares?
I've got a water bottle. I'll try that. Here we go. Hang on. It doesn't work. See, water's no good.
Definitely beer's the best.
I think Coke's best. Can we get on with the show now?
Drink responsibly. Yes. Right, stop making a noise. Very good day. Welcome to the programme, James Whale's radio show. Online on a number of radio stations, and I noticed some new stations taking this programme. So a very, very big hello to those of you listening to a radio station and haven't heard the James Whale radio show before. Welcome to it. We are unashamedly unrehearsed on this programme. Unashamedly unrehearsed. Now, first things first. Any complaints you have about the programme, you can email Rob because he's the producer. Don't have a go at me because nothing is my responsibility.
Nice. I like the way you've done that. Great. Thank you very much.
You can email jamesworldradio@gmail.com if you want to be in touch with the programme. Later on, special guest Mike Nolan, because Eurovision, of course, is in everybody's mind at the moment. What do you mean it's not in your mind? Of course it is.
Is it that time of year already?
Eurovision. We may have won. But when you're listening to this programme, of course, the interesting thing about programmes that go out on radio stations, then people podcast and listen to, is that you may well have now been excited by the fact that we've won Eurovision.
Yeah,
right. Let me do another take, just in case. You may be very sad because of the fact that we didn't, again, win Eurovision. And that'll cover both opportunities.
Yeah, I'll put the right one in.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, just leave them both in. I wouldn't worry too much.
Okay.
Because then people can enjoy what might have been, if you see what I mean.
Hmm.
Did I hear you do an interview this week for somebody?
I may have done. I've done two, actually, this week.
Why are you doing interviews and not me?
Because you keep saying I can't be bothered.
I wouldn't do that, would I?
All right, you might have said you can't be bothered.
No, that would be rude. When I come to think about it, you didn't even ask me if I'd like to do an interview. You just took it upon yourself to do an interview anyway.
That might be true, actually, yeah. You've got to seize these opportunities.
Yeah, maybe you have. Well, where did you do this interview?
I did an interview for another podcast.
Right. Isn't that a bit silly? Aren't we in danger of losing our listeners?
No, they're doing their bit, promoting us, I suppose, by putting the interview out.
Really? Okay. Are you getting paid for it?
Sadly, no.
That's okay, then. You can do as many of those free as you like.
I'm kind of used to it now.
Yes, I know. Never mind. And what's all this about other people who do podcasts going on about how many listeners they have, and then other people saying, why don't we big up that we've got a listener somewhere?
We have a listener, yes.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm very grateful to our listener for listening.
Well, that's it. We've got a listener. That's all they need to know.
Well, yeah, that's all you need to know. We have definitely got a listener. I always think these people who say, we've had 100,000 downloads or we've had two, you know, but what are they going on about?
The figures are never realistic, though, are they?
Well, not unless they're ours. And over the course of this programme, we've literally had millions.
A download doesn't mean a listen.
No, absolutely not. A download could mean somebody like me with fat fingers just hit the wrong button.
Continually downloading, download, download.
Yeah, yeah. Download. You know, I might have a sort of I might have a twitch.
Mm. A listen is you have to listen to the whole thing.
Mm. And we have got literally millions.
I wouldn't go that far, but it's more than one.
Well, it's a few more than one. Mm. Yeah. So if you hear anybody having a go about us on another podcast, it's because they're jealous. And there are some people who want me to have a real go back at certain people who used to have their own radio programs, but of course now do not have any radio programs at all. And I refuse to mention their names. I refuse to even talk about them. And even though they might be doing it every day over and over and over again, let's face it, nobody's listening.
Maybe three.
No, I don't think. If we've only got one, they've definitely got nobody.
On that logic, yes, you're right.
Yeah. But if you want to find out what kind of audience we do have on this show, then we will put graphics up on the website, jameswellradio.co.uk, which shows an incredible amount of people listening, downloading and interacting with the programme, does it not?
Yeah, not to mention all the nice radio stations that put us out.
Exactly. We've got radio stations not only in this country, but all over the world who put this programme out and people who listen all over the world, which brings me round to my first topic, which I noticed on Twitter. And I don't know if anybody's looking for a job. You know how we go on about how people come from other countries? Cameron's making speeches about how he's going to stop people coming into this country illegally. And anybody who's working illegally will have to pay their money back. Well, you know, that's farcical because he and everybody else has no idea how many people are in this country illegally. If they're here illegally, they will be working on the black market, that's for sure. And they probably spend every penny they get because they'll be on very low wages. And getting people to go and do jobs like picking fruit. I'm not suggesting that people who work in agriculture, by the way, are coming in from abroad and working illegally. There may be some, I don't know. But you try and get British people to do that sort of work, it's almost impossible. Now, how would we like to turn the tables? Because I know we have listeners in Saudi Arabia, and we have listeners in other countries in the Middle East, not to mention Australia, America, all over the world. So just for one moment, if anybody here in the United Kingdom is interested, there are a couple of vacancies going in Saudi Arabia for executioners. Now, I believe it's quite well paid.
Wow.
I don't know if anybody is interested. I don't know how good you are with a sword. I think they do the beheadings with a sword in Saudi. But that's a job that is apparently on offer at the moment. I think they have about six vacancies. I may be wrong. And as far as overtime is concerned, well, you'll be given the chance to do a few amputations as well.
A few amputations as well. This sounds like a dream job.
Well, I'm not actually interested myself, but I don't know if anybody you know is. They want to get onto the Saudi Arabian government and find the form for job for executioner. I imagine there's probably going to be a form to fill in as well.
Ah, but we're going to suffer, though, aren't we? Because we're not going to have any experience, though, are we?
Well, I suggest that you practice maybe on a hay bale or something like that beforehand. But, I'm just saying there are job opportunities in other countries. It doesn't always have to be one-way traffic.
What about collecting the heads afterwards?
Why do you have to bring everything down to the lowest level? There are some things that you just don't speak about.
Oh, I just thought that, you know, that they could have an apprentice.
Well, I don't know. As I said, why don't get on to the Saudi Arabian embassy in London and ask them for more details?
Apprenticeships. It's all about apprenticeships.
Well, yes, you're right. You're right. But if anybody does get on to the Saudi Arabian embassy and say, we heard on the James Whale radio show that there were job vacancies, let me know what they said to you. I'd be fascinated to know. JamesWellRadio@gmail.com is where to find me. Now, one of my colleagues who works with me on a radio station that I work on during the week, Mr. Tony Fisher, said we didn't give a mention the other day. So Here's a big up for Tony Fisher, who listens to us when he's walking between the train. Oh, no, I think now he's moved in nearer the radio station. I think he listens when he's walking to work.
There you go. We have mentioned our one listener by name.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to say it was our only listener, but there we are. So good for Tony. Now, Christmas is coming. Yeah, it is, but not for a long time. Summer is coming. And, of course, as you know, I like to make sure we have lots of ideal little trinkets for those people who are going away to the sun. And if you go to our shop on the website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, if you go to the website and go into the shop, there's all sorts of fascinating things. T-shirts, sweatshirts, baseball caps. You can even get yourself an audiobook. Download all the links to Audible, and you can get a free audiobook. If you want, and I'm not suggesting you should, you could get a copy of Almost a Celebrity by that remarkable author, James Whale. Read by him as well. So, I mean, that's just a bit of extra, isn't it, really?
It is. I'll even get you to sign some as well.
Oh, that's a good idea. Why don't I do that? Now, there's something else I wanted to tell you about. It was Bear Awareness Week this week, and I don't know how many people actually know that, but how many of you got bears? Have you got a bear?
I've got a koala bear and a blue teddy bear.
Hmm, yeah, but you do live with a very strange man, don't you?
Saying nothing.
So what's the name of your koala bear?
Koala, funny enough.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, I had a teddy. It's gone now because it was a bit moth-eaten, called Bruin the Bear. We put this out on Facebook and on the website earlier in the week. Cheryl Elliott says she's got a white one. Oh, no, sorry. Cheryl Elliott says she's got a white one with blue paws. She got him in 1965, and she called him Cuddles. And he's still with her. That, you know, that's the sort of story I like. That's really nice. That must mean we got two listeners. Sue Green said, I have had loads of ops from birth. I was born disabled. I have lots of operations from birth. So my teddy was with me each time I went into hospital and still sitting behind me on the sofa now. When my mum and dad sadly died, I was going to put it in with one of them, but my family talked me out of it. Oh, I'm so pleased they talked you out of it. I'm sure your mum and dad would have wanted you to keep him. But you don't tell me what his or her name is, Sue. David Longbottom, your friend, says, you, James, are my teddy bear.
Aww.
That's nice. Hey, what about making up some James Whale teddy bears?
I'll make inquiries.
Yeah. I know that my charity, the James Whale Fund for Kidney Cancer, has some bears for raising money, but they don't look like me.
I think it's just a teddy bear with a James Whale T-shirt, I would imagine.
Yeah. Actually, when I think about it, we should put a little plug for the charity on the front page of the website.
Have we not done that?
I don't know. But we can put one in. If we haven't done, we will do.
Will do, yes.
Maybe we have. Tina Gay, you do lots of things all the time. I can't keep up with what you do on the website.
I just like to fiddle at night time.
Yeah, obviously, but please try not to get those rather risque sites up on there.
Okay.
All right. Tina Kane says she's got a bear called Porridge. Derek Saunders said he's got one called Bruce after his old dog, and he gets a cuddle every night. How many of us actually give our old teddy bears a cuddle? David says, I think mine fell apart. It was a panda anyway. All my life I was told they were not real bears, but related more to badgers. And then along comes genotyping, and they discover all along that pandas are bears. Do you know, it's terrible when that sort of thing happens. You lived your whole life under a misapprehension. Lizzie Dart says, my Ted is 60 in July. Oh, have a birthday party for him. And Mark Hudson says, my grandson's called Teddy, and he's nearly two. So there we are. Thank you very much indeed. Bear Awareness Week, and we've certainly been aware of bears. I know lots of you thought we were going to talk about something completely different, didn't you? Don't forget, if you want to get in touch, please email me, and we can mention you on the programme, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Now, here's a word from our sponsor.
Would you like a free audiobook? Our friends at Audible are giving everybody a free audiobook just by going to the James Whale Radio Show website, jamesweleradio.co.uk. All you need to do is click on the Audible link, register, and you'll get your free audiobook. It's a bit like a book club, and remember, you can leave at any time and you still get to keep your free audiobook. So what are you waiting for? Just head over to the James Whale Radio Show website, jamesweleradio.co.uk, and click on that Audible link now.
Ah, right. And don't forget, of course, there are many more ads for you to peruse and have a look at. The latest on the Ford Focus that I'm driving at the moment and various other things on our website, jamesweleradio.co.uk. Now, shall we have some music?
Yes, please.
Good, because Eurovision is with us. Woo! And let's talk in a moment, Eurovision, with a man who should know a lot about Eurovision, Mike Nolan, who was in Buck's Fizz. But before we do that, this new single, wasn't this a reggae song?
Well, you're the reggae expert.
I know, but I'm sure The Rose of Cimarron was a reggae tune.
I'll find out while we're playing the song.
Well, let's have a listen. We should be able to tell. Mike Nolan and Rose of Cimarron.
Show. Roll
Let's start this. We've just listened to Rose of Cimarron, right?
Right.
Which is great. But was that a reggae tune originally?
No, it was a song. I tell you what was happening. When the guy who approached me about doing the album, he said, I tell you what, you want to go with something that's different. And I said, yeah, I tell you what I'd love to do. And I do love country music. So I started going on YouTube, just going through hundreds and hundreds of songs, trying to find really nice, tuneful songs. And I found this Rose of Cimarron on there, and I thought, I never heard of this lot. So I put it on, listened, and I thought, this is quite catchy. And when I played it to the guy who produced it for me, I phoned him, I said, put YouTube on, look this song up. And he said, this sounds interesting. And I said, I'm going to go. I've got a feeling about this song. It's a really, really good song. And I've played the album to quite a few people, and the one that they're drawn to is Rose of Cimarron.
I think it's a great song. In the back of my mind, there was a reggae song. It might have been a reggae version of this, I don't know.
It's by an American band. They call themselves Poco. And it was released in 72, 73 in the States. It was a hit in the States, but it wasn't in the UK. And it's just by chance I found it on YouTube, and I thought, oh, I quite like this song, I might have a go at this. And and it's everyone's favorite, and we're doing a tour at the moment with Bucks Fizz, and Bobby and I, and this is not Bobby G, by the way, this is Bobby McVeigh, because everyone thinks that Cheryl, Mark J and Bobby are all back together, and we do it as the two of us on stage together with the guitars while the girls go off and get changed, and it goes down a storm. It's brilliant.
I think if people want to hear it again, you can download it, of course, now. And let's talk about the tour before we talk about other stuff. Where exactly are you going to be over the next few weeks? Do you know?
Oh, we're all over the UK. I mean, do you want to know, I haven't got my my list in front of me here because I didn't think we were going to talk about the tour. I'd have had the list here already.
Well, listen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it on the website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, so people can go there and can find out where you are.
You probably they'll find it under Cheryl J and Mike, formerly Bucks Fizz, because we can't use the name anymore.
Oh, are we never going to see the original Bucks Fizz back together then?
The original guy, Bobby, he is not with us. He's with his own group who call themselves Bucks Fizz. But the Cheryl J and myself from the original lineup with Bobby McVeigh. Now, Bobby McVeigh did the Eurovision in 83. He was in it with a band called Sweet Dreams, and we've known Bobby since then. And then we decided back in sometime last year to go back together as four, because we travelled, we toured just as three of us, and we decided to have a fourth member back in because it just looks better with four of you. People remember us as two guys, two girls. So I knew Bobby and approached him about it, and he lives in Italy. But he came back over here and he's been working with us since, and he's just so good to work with. He's great fun.
Now, you're not ripping Cheryl's skirt off in the tour, are you?
You know what? They are still coming off. And I said to them, look, the public are getting fed up with this. Why don't you rip our trousers off? And she looked at the pictures to say, I don't think so. But their skirt has come off, and it's the highlight of the show. People just scream for it.
What do you think about Eurovision then? Obviously, a lot of people will listen to this program after Eurovision, and I'm taking a bet that we didn't win. Although our song this time, I think, is really good. I think that the kind of modern version of a Charleston is excellent. But we've never got any chance of winning, really, have we?
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you something, James. Ever since Katrina and the Waves won it, the UK entries have just gone more and more down regarding voting from the juries around the world. And it's just, I in total agreement with you. I don't think the UK will ever win it again, which is sad because I think it's a song contest and they should do the voting on the kind of songs. And at the same time as well, some of the songs we put in haven't been brilliant songs. But this year's entry, I think, is very, very different. I think it's catchy as well. And I also thought when Blue did it, they did it about three, four, 5 years ago. And I thought they were going to do really well. And they didn't, and they should have. So I think that what they're doing, these countries are all voting for their favourites. That's what they're doing. And they're not going by the... it's not a song. I think they should call it the Eurovision Entertainment Contest.
You know, one of the things that could work, actually, is that if Bucks Fizz got back together again, you see, and then did it again, maybe everybody say, hey, hang on.
No, I don't think. I'll tell you why I wouldn't want to do it again, because people always remember us winning it. But after we go into it, and I don't even think we would win it, and then we lose it, people then remember you. They remember you winning it, but they also remember you losing it as well. And I think we just don't need to do it anymore. I just don't. I would hate to do it again.
I mean, do you still watch it? Do you still get a kick out of it?
Oh, yeah, it's great to watch, and the voting thing is great. But, you know, I can always predict every year who's going to... Last year, I predicted the winner, because I just knew from the beginning, when he started getting all the points, I said, yeah, he's going to walk it, he's going to walk it. And you can tell that from the beginning, you know, about three or four countries are going to be in the ratings with the most votes, and you can see it.
Hey, maybe, Mike, you could do it in drag.
No, I think I would be a drag doing it. Listen, would you imagine me doing that in drag? I doubt it. I very much doubt it.
let's talk about you, your career for a while. I mean, obviously, Bucks Fizz has been a really big part of that. And right back, you remind me, 30 years ago after that terrible accident. I mean, we've spoken since then, but I remember speaking to you not too long after the accident. You actually didn't think you were ever going to work again, did you?
No, I didn't think I was. I mean, when I came out of hospital, I just thought, you know, the doctor said to me, you've got to recoup, you've got to take 3 months of no working and just relax and get yourself steadily back together, he said, and then come and see me. And when I got back with the group, I remember phoning our manager up and saying, you've got to get us some work in straight away. I just couldn't bear the thought of not working. And also, with me not working with them, meant they would have to go out as three of them work, which they didn't want to do. So I felt I've got to consider them as well. And the only way around it is to throw myself back into work and get on with it. And, you know, and I'm really glad I did that, because that was a big help to me. You know, rather than sit at home and recoup, I'd rather go out and get my brain active again and start working again and just rehearse. And it was a lot of rehearsals that we had to do, ever such a lot, to get it all back together. And it's one thing I'm really glad I did.
I mean, I think that was a problem. I remember when you were first going through the first stages of recovery, even speaking was difficult for you, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was terrible. I mean, and I was speaking really slowly. I sounded like I'd been drinking. That's what it sounded like to me. But to me, I thought I was sounding fine. And then I see it being played back on the TV, and I think, I can't do this. I'm not doing this properly. And that's why I started pulling out of interviews and things like that and let the others do it until I was really, really sure what I was doing was the normal way again. And that took a long time to do. It really did, because you think you're talking okay, and you're not. I mean, now you can't shut me up.
No, I know. I remember doing an interview with you, and it was really difficult at the time because you didn't really want to talk.
No, I didn't. And I was just very introvert as well. For someone that was extrovert before it, I became ultra, ultra introvert. And I just wouldn't say boo to a goose. Now, just hand your goose and I'll strangle it.
I think for those people who don't remember, I mean, it was a horrific coach crash. You went through the windscreen of the coach, didn't you? And you had severe head injuries.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, thank God, Sharon and I both went through the windscreen together. But out of everyone that was on the coach, I think it was about 15 people on the coach. No, about 12 people on the coach that night. And the two of us went through the windscreen, and we're the only two on the coast that do not remember anything that happened that night. And we'll never remember it, which in some ways is a blessing for us, because everybody else does remember it, and it really does. It still haunts them to today, you know, the crash of the lorry hitting the coach, and they hear the windscreen going. They actually saw us fly through it as well. And that must be awful for them. So I sympathise with them, because they'll never forget it. Never, ever. I mean, thank God, you know, we're still alive. We're still alive to tell the story.
And absolutely, 30 years on, you're still out there and doing it. I think it's obviously going to be encouraging for those people who get some kind of head injuries now to realise that although it looks fairly bleak at the time, it's amazing how the human body can actually repair itself.
Yeah, it is very strange, because when it actually happens to you, you don't see any way back at all. All you think is, this is it. I've just got to stop everything. I've just got to sit at home and do nothing, because you have no incentive. You don't even know how to do things. And what you have to do is you've really got to fight that. And I really did fight it, because I was determined that I was not going to become somebody that became like a recluse. And I did become a recluse for a while, but I pulled out of it. I just pushed myself to get out and about and do things, what I used to do before. And it was really hard to do, but when you break the first time of doing it, you get through doing it, you know, you've broken the barrier, and then you just keep going with it. You know, so, you know, that was my advice. I remember doing interviews about 10 years after the accident. I was advising people. Well, I felt like a real doctor doing it, but it wasn't. I was just talking from my own experience of it, of what I think they should do, and that's just to push yourself. And no one else pushes you. The only one that can push you is yourself, and if you can do it yourself, that's half the battle. It really is.
I don't know if you remember. I think you came on a television show I was doing that was produced by Mike Mansfield late on a Friday night.
I do remember that. I remember
do you remember
James
Mike Mansfield, the producer?
Yes, I do. I know. Yes, I remember.
And he kept saying to me before you arrived, he said, now, look, we've got to be very, very nice to Mike. Make sure everything's fine for Mike and don't let's stress him too much. I said, well, of course not.
No. You made the beeline straight away, didn't you?
So, listen, as a solo performer, is this the way you want to go, or do you still want to carry on with the other guys?
No, I'm going to stay with the other guys. It's just something else I wanted to do. I mean, I bought an album out a couple of years ago, but this time the guy who produced it, he said to me, look, your last album's okay, but this one, if you work on exactly, go for a theme, kind of thing you'd like to go to. And that's when I said to him, I think my kind of theme I like is country music. And he said, country music is really popular. I said, I know it's popular in the States. He said, you'd be surprised at how popular it is here. And so we sat down and we really studied the whole thing really, really carefully. And so I went into the studio. I paid for it all myself and we just did it. Everyone always says to me, so are you leaving the group, are you? But I'm really, really happy with the group. But there are times when, you know, you want to do something else. And if something really good happened with the album, yeah, I would go and I'd promote it and tell them we can't do this date, we can't do that date, can't do this, can't do that. And I would go ahead and I would do it. But my life is still with the group. I still love the group as well. But I also love performing on my own, because I don't know. And when you perform on your own as well and you go wrong, you can't nag at the other three. You've only got yourself to blame, because when we go wrong on stage, let's a little secret here, James. When we're on stage, I do a lot of things wrong, and then I step forward and speak to them and say, I'm really, really sorry about the other three. They just haven't got this routine together yet, and they know. They just know it's me that's doing it. So I go out and I make fun of it all and enjoy it. We haven't got anybody over us saying, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. You just do it wrong, we get on with it.
Do you prefer it now to the times when, you know, you were having to have hit records and Bucks Fizz was in the charts regularly? Do you find it more fun now than it used to be?
Oh, so much more fun. You know, you've got no one to answer. There's no management, no record coming. No one's coming up and giving you a hard time. Oh, we're doing this or we're doing that wrong. We just go on stage. And from the moment we go on, we just enjoy ourselves from the beginning to the end. And this tour we're doing now, we don't even have a support act now. We go on, we do the first half, and then there's a 20-minute break, and we come on and we do the second half. And it works so, so much better for us. You know, and it is hard work. But hey, you know, hard work didn't kill anybody.
Are you living in England now, or have you moved abroad?
No, I'm right down by the coast. I live in a place called Broadstairs, right down in Kent.
What do you do when you're not working? I mean, in Broadstairs, of course, you nearly had Nigel Farage as your Member of Parliament, didn't you?
Yeah, don't even talk to me about all that. My God, I tell you what, religion and politics are the two things that cause wars in this world.
You are absolutely 100% right.
I know I'm right. And when we had to vote, people were saying, so who are you voting for? So I said, I'm not having a war with you. Don't worry about who I'm voting for. Just let me go and do it.
So what do you do then in Broadstairs when you're not working?
I down the gym three times a week. I go from, it's coming up to four now, because I'm really into it now. I'm loving the gym. And And then I go, and I tell you what I do, it sounds really silly. I walk along the beach all the time. I love the beach.
That's good.
That's all I do, walk along the beach, and I go and have coffee with some people down there. I have the life of Riley when we're not working. And when then Cheryl finds out, I said, well, you know we're doing a gig on Wednesday. I said, yeah, I know. And then the mood comes on, because I've got to work.
Listen, I love that song, The Rose of Simran. I think people, if they haven't had enough of that, they should go and download it. Have a little listen. We've just played that. We're going to play another track to finish this. And that's your version of The Most Beautiful Girl in the World. Was it Charlie Rich who had a hit with this originally?
Yeah, that's right. I loved the song when I was younger. I thought it was a great song. But I think the way the guy produced it with me, I think he's done a great job on it. Have you heard it?
I have, and I think people will enjoy it, and they're just about to listen to it now. So, Mike, thanks very much indeed. I'll put up on the website, our website, where people can find out about where you're playing in the not-too-distant future. And who knows, perhaps me and Rob, the producer, will be in the audience one night, then we'll have a drink afterwards, eh?
That'd be good, yeah, that'd be great. Take it easy. Thanks very much. I'll talk with you soon.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care. Bye.
James, bye.
Hey, did you happen to see the most beautiful girl in the world? And if you did, was she crying, crying? Hey, if you happen to see the most beautiful girl that walked out on me, tell her I'm sorry.
There we are. Thanks to Mike Nolan. That was The Most Beautiful Girl in the World. And, of course, that's available to download on iTunes and all over the place now. Who do you think is going to win? Who may already have won Eurovision?
I'll go with the obvious. I'll say Ireland.
England.
England aren't in the Eurovision.
Here we are.
It's just Great Britain, isn't it? United Kingdom.
Oh, that's the same thing, isn't it? Oh, no, hang on, we're in Scotland, aren't we? Yes, you're absolutely right. The United Kingdom.
That's the one.
Nil point. No, that's a joke. That's a joke. No. Now, I think we've won.
I think you're right.
I think we won.
Yeah, we've won.
Unfortunately, I'm doing this a day before the Eurovision Song Contest, so I don't know, but maybe we've won it when you listen to it. Okay, shall we get on and talk about some of the things in the news this week?
Yes, please.
And say hello to all those people who are listening to us through talentgb.com. And if you are looking for a way of getting recognised and you can't get onto X Factor or you can't get onto Britain's Got Talent or The Voice, you can always try talentgb.com. Look up and go and see what they've got. Now, I did ask, what do you think of the government so far? No, don't be rude. Just, you know, how do you think it's going? Andy there, he said the circus is over, and for most, so is the interest. Oh, dear, that's terrible. Simon Clark says, I have already signed two petitions. I think there will be lots more before the year is out. I wish you'd told me, Simon, what petitions you'd sign. Fran Griffin said, it's business as usual, isn't it? Daniel says, for me, yes. Though I am starting to miss the lefties and their tears. Oh, dear. Ruth Ashton, hoping interest rates don't start to rise. Otherwise, same crap, different day. Stephen Addison says, not long now before the hard cuts are in force, thanks to the new Tory voters. Well, they have to come somewhere, don't they? It would be interesting to see how they come, Stephen, in the next couple of months. David Hoy says, they've already built 27 new hospitals, sorted out the housing problem. Schools are now begging for more pupils. Ah, was I just dreaming? I think you might have been, David. Jane Freeman says, fed up of David Cameron's smug face and David Hazlitt. Do you know, I used to really enjoy Hazlitt. Can you get Hazlitt anymore?
It's gone over my head.
Hazlitt, wasn't that like a sort of a sausage? Hazlitt, wasn't it sort of meat?
A meat sausage.
Yeah, what on earth was Hazlitt?
So David's a meat sausage.
Well, no, I'm not saying David's a meat sausage, but Hazlitt. What was Hazlitt? Oh, never mind. Someone will know. Someone will let me know. You can email jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Next week, let's remember to do what is Hazlitt? Can you remember Hazlitt?
I could use Google. I am sat in front of a computer.
Well, why don't you Google Hazlitt as a meat and find out what it is?
Okay. Give me a second.
Yeah. All right. One of the other things, of course, we talked about today, we talked about in the week and everybody was talking about, was Nigel Farage and the furore about whether or not he should still be leading UKIP. Well, it just goes from bad to worse, doesn't it? Although, apparently, as far as UKIP's concerned, apparently they're all friends again. I'm not sure. If you didn't listen to my interview with Nigel Farage that I did around about 6 months ago before the election was called, it might be interesting for those people who are into politics to go and listen to it. I can't remember what show it is, but it'll be up there on our website, won't it?
It is, yes. I've got news. News coming in that Hazlitt, with one T, though, is parts of the animal that you can eat, like heart, lungs, liver, stomach, etc.
Ooh, and I used to eat that. So sort of reconstituted food, eh?
It's possible. I could go on reading.
No, don't. That's enough. Anyway, thoughts on Nigel Farage? Because everybody says, oh, he's a nice bloke. I'd like to have a few pints with him. See what you say. Judith says, the only one that's got balls and a backbone. Oh, all right, another fan of Nigel Farage's. John Hampson says, totally fed up with the man with the pint of beer image, trying to hoodwink people, can't win a seat either. It's laughable. So there we are, two opposing views. Craig McKenzie says, absolutely, love or hate him, he's the most engaging party leader in my lifetime. Nigel Farage speaks sense on many issues. Shame the media seems to try and slur him and not listen. It's opened my eyes with regard to the UK media and indeed the voting system. I fear the next few years. And Steve James says his members clearly think he's great, so at least he's honest and says it like it is. So lots of people like him. A few people dislike him. Steve Jones says, even with his stage-managed U-turn, he still makes me chuckle. And Ivor Williams says, 4 million voters think he's good enough. So it's interesting. I'm trying to find some against him. Graham White says, many would argue he is the party, so without him there is no UKIP. Samantha says, I hear Carswell wants to cross the floor back to the Tory party as he was hoping to be the leader. I'm not sure that he was. Every time I've spoken to him, he says he doesn't want to be the leader. Steve Jones says, it's all a farce. Labour tugging their forelocks like they can't comprehend why they lost. Dave preparing to lead the charge, probably singing for Harry and St. George. Nicola can't believe she's Queen of Scotland. And Alex preparing to replace George Galloway as the guy to stick it to. Those nasty Tories without having enough seats to actually influence a Tory majority. And Nick Clegg? Well, he's just impaling himself. Right here. Some pretty interesting thoughts on Nigel Farage. Shall we do tech talk?
Okay, yeah, well, we do tech talk.
Yeah, this is a part of the programme we do each week where Rob, who's into tech, shows us how brilliant he is about all kinds of things. And we have to kind of coax it out of him because sometimes he just doesn't want to do it. So how are you feeling this week as far as tech talk is concerned?
Slightly relaxed.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, get on with it.
Okay, two things. First thing, Google and Twitter have joined together to share data. So now you'll see Twitter results on the Google search engine.
That doesn't mean they're going to start selling my number to people again, does it?
No. So if you do a hashtag search in Google, you'll start to see people's Twitter posts in the Google search engine, which is right. New. And the second thing I want to talk about is more alarming, and that is there's a new wave of crime. Well, it's the same crime, but a new way of doing it. Stealing cars. For 30 quid, you can buy radio jamming equipment. You can set up in a car park, switch it on, and no one is able to lock their car. So if you're ever in a car park and you can't lock your car, the most likely reason is your car's about to be nicked.
Well, if I couldn't lock my car, I think I would probably not leave it.
Most people think, oh, I can't lock my car, just lock it manually, but your boot probably isn't locked.
Right, so you can't tell me people nick your car by jumping in your boot.
You go in through the boot, through the thing and nick or whatever. It might not nick your car, they might nick all the contents of your car.
Okay. So be aware.
Yep, so if you can't lock your car for some reason, you're pressing the button and the doors won't lock, chances are there's some scam going on.
Mm. And we want to get ourselves back in the iTunes charts again, don't we?
Yeah, all you need to do is...
Just to annoy certain individuals who boast about their podcasts, who, I tell you what, I can't listen to more than 5 seconds of some of them.
Yeah, just all you need to do is go and subscribe.
Doesn't cost you anything?
Nothing at all, it's all free, and you'll get the episodes. But
and then just put a big up to us, and that will upset some people more than you can imagine. Well, it will, won't it? It really will.
Yes, I'm sure it will.
Yeah. Oh, I think it probably will. Now, Prince Harry said earlier in the week he thinks national service is a good idea. And we've been talking about this on the radio, and I've been talking about it online as well, and some of your thoughts interesting. Sharon Cook says, I agree, it might do some good, and it might keep some teenagers off the streets. You know, many other countries have national service. It doesn't have to be military, although some of it can be. National service, where everybody who is fit and able to goes at the time that they leave school. Now, if you're going to university, well, you know, people like to take a year out. So you'd have to take a year out. Might even be longer, I don't know. But the idea is that for a year between school and starting work or school and starting further education, everybody in the country does national service. And it could be a form of community-based service. It could be in the military. There could be a choice. That's what Prince Harry has said. And these are some of your thoughts. Sarah says, I want to bring back flares and platforms. Actually, that's not a bad idea because, Sarah, to be honest with you, I've still got some platform shoes and some flared trousers hanging up in my wardrobe. I don't know how we got onto that, Sarah. You've sidetracked me now, haven't you? Nick says, yes to national community service to teach social responsibility, no to military service to teach murder. Chris Stacey says, good idea. Make it so that all EU residents living here have to do it. Let's hope that will make them all go home. Pete Webb says, yes, we also solve a few problems, lower unemployment, even more reducing crime, and it'll teach discipline and respect, and they may even come out of national service with a trade under their belts. A win-win situation. Ah, very good. Kara says, too many kids sitting about on their asses. not prepared to do any work and expecting money for it. So, yes, I think it's a good idea. Adrian Reed says, yes, most of the kids today are out of control. Gary Stow says it'll do them world of good. I'm looking for somebody who says no. Julie Bone says, send the youth that no one can control on basic training. I'm sure it would actually give them a sense of worth. Do you know, I think most kids are really well behaved, and it's only a few, isn't it? But I don't think it's for sort of... I think it gives people an insight into what the world is like. I mean, if you sort of leave school and you go straight into another education, or you go into a job and you're still living at home, at least if you had to do service, you'd have to move away from home. That would be a prerequisite. You'd have to stand on your own two feet for a while. I think it would be a fairly win-win situation. Don't forget your thoughts on any of these subjects. Just email me, jameswellradio@gmail.com. That'll find us. Right, what are we doing next?
We could do questions.
I think it's got to that time, hasn't it, really?
Yes.
Ah, right, hang on. Jackie from Paddock Wood contacted us and wanted to spread the word, did she not?
She did, yes, on Facebook.
Thousands of parents will discover that they are entitled to free Calpol and free plasters on the NHS.
If you think about it, if you take your child to the doctor always prescribes paracetamol, and you end up going to the chemist and they give you Calpol. I think the point she's making out is there's a scheme that you can join, all parents can join, and their kids are entitled to free prescriptions. And you don't have to go to the doctor to get paracetamol, but you can go to the counter of your chemist and say, I'm a member of this scheme, I need some plasters, some nappy cream, and some Calpol, and they give it to you for free.
Now, the NHS Minor Ailments Scheme, which is what it's called, is aimed at those who don't have to pay prescriptions. So that's children... I imagine pregnant women and those over 60 years of age. The scheme has been running for 8 years, but it's not allowed to be advertised. So you need to go to your local pharmacy and ask.
Yeah.
And you never know. You never know. You might be able to get free Calpol and free plasters. Right. Questions. And this is always good. If you've got a question, email it in the week. And I like to think I could probably answer any question.
OK, Lee Wagner, why has Cameron not announced who the Deputy Prime Minister is yet? Is he waiting on Boris?
Ah, dear. Well, I thought he was waiting on me, you see. I thought that's what it was, and I've turned him down, and I've said, no, I can't. I just can't fit it in. But does he have to have... I mean, all this idea of a Deputy Prime Minister is a fairly new thing, isn't it, in just the last couple of parliaments? You don't have to. Nobody says you have to have one. I imagine the Home Secretary, Theresa May, is probably likely to be thought of as the Deputy Prime Minister. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I can't wait for the first ever Prime Minister's Question Time, which is not this week, but is it the week after next, after the Queen's speech and the opening of Parliament?
Are you asking me? Because I have no clue.
No, I know you haven't, but yes, I'm more or less telling myself. Next question.
Peter Jenkins. The song 9 Million Bicycles was released in 2005. Has the number of bicycles increased in China since then?
Oh, yes, it has, big time. I think you can double that and add a couple of noughts.
Tony French, in synchronised swimming, if one drowns, do they all drown?
In synchronised swimming, nobody drowns. And also, when you break wind, nobody takes responsibility either.
April Williams, why is it when you phone a wrong number, they always answer?
Because it's not a wrong number to them.
That's a very good point. I don't...
And can I just say, it's really infuriating when you call somebody and they answer the phone in that old-fashioned way. For instance, when you ring me or somebody rings me, I answer the phone, yeah, because I want to know who it is and whether or not I want to speak to them. So I go, yeah. Some people think it's very rude. Other people say, hello, 22333111. And I find that so annoying. Don't tell us your phone number. Because we must know it. We've just rung you. And if it's a wrong number, you'll be able to tell us anyway.
Yeah.
And if it's a wrong number, you go, oh, did you say 22333111? Oh, I thought I'd rung 22333111. No, I'm afraid it's 22333111. And you have this long conversation about nothing.
Yeah.
So if it's a wrong number and somebody says, oh, hello, is Willie there? I say, Willie? Willie who? Oh, Willie Smith. No, wrong number. Bye. Bang.
I hate it when you phone the wrong number and you hang up. You know, you hang up after one ring, you go, oh, I've rung the wrong number. And then they phone you back and argue with you.
Yes, yeah, I know. Which is why I don't have my number showing, which is getting so annoying because I've taken my number off my phone and now friends won't take my calls because they think it's an advertiser, so they don't bother to answer it.
I have to answer every phone call now because your phone number's unavailable.
Yeah, I don't want it unavailable. How do I get it unavailable?
Well, you have to unblock your number.
I can't. Yeah, I went into the phone and it's physically impossible to do.
No, I'll have a look at your phone later. Gary Fitchers has asked a question. I thought we banned him.
Made up name.
He wants to know.
Made up name.
He wants to know.
Made up flipping name, Gary.
Rainbow, Mr. Ben or Trumpton, vote the best.
What?
Rainbow, Mr. Ben or Trumpton, vote for the best.
Vote what best? Well, that's a stupid question. As usual, he asks stupid questions.
I'm sure we banned him last week. Well, you banned him last week.
I probably did. I'd ban him again for that. In answer to the question, though, Rainbow.
I like Mr. Ben.
Do you?
Yeah.
No, I like Rainbow.
As if by magic, the shopkeeper appeared. I love that.
Bungle. I'd like Bungle, best of all, going back to teddy bears.
Is that enough questions, or do you want some more?
Well, if you've got another one, squeeze it in.
I'm going back to your Facebook page. Here we go. David Beedham. Do fish fart?
Yeah, of course they do. Why do you think you often see bubbles in the water around where fish are? Of course they do. Right, with that, I think it's time for me to go to the pub. Thank you very much indeed for listening. Please tell your friends about the programme, where they can hear it. And if you're a new listener, nice to have you with us. And don't forget, if you go to jameswhaleradio.co.uk, there is now over 80 hours of programmes. And if you you want to listen to another hour or so, please go and check it out. If you're interested in politics, an interview there with Nigel Farage. And there's also another one we're putting out at the moment, which is my interview with James Cosmo, the actor, and a good friend of mine. He's made a movie recently, which is called The Pyramid Text, and it's just a brilliant movie. And I happen to know he is at the moment out in Italy making the new... He's got a part in the new Ben-Hur movie.
Nice.
So, you can check that out as well. But there are many programmes with many varied celebrity interviews there. Oh, just before we go, we were talking the other day about a guest that I had many years ago on the radio about reversed speech. Now, we've tracked him down, and we will be doing a special with him in the very near future.
That's right, we are.
All right, OK. Well, my thanks to Mike Nolan for joining us today. My thanks to you and Rob.
Yes?
Bring the car around.
Is it the new Focus?
Well, go and get it out of the garage and find out.
Oh, I've always wanted to go in that one.
Listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/James Whale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.